This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm so excited because the first book by Darkness Prevails and Carmen Carrion is available for pre-order right now. It's the Freaky Folklore Compendium, filled with the history and lore of the most terrifying folklore monsters across the globe, alongside some cool but creepy illustrations. Releases July 16th. Pre-order now at eeriecast.com/freak or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your favorite bookstore.
My baby brother was a diehard believer in Bigfoot. He even claimed to have had an encounter with the legendary creature during a camping trip with his best friend. The last time he told me this story, he said that they were camping at Lee Creek in Van Buren, Arkansas, when they were 14 and 15 years old. It was nighttime and they had built a bonfire. There were some rocks thrown from the woods from an unknown location that startled them, and when they went to investigate, they heard a loud scream. They got out a light and shined it, and then saw a set of eyes glowing in the beam of the light. He always said after that encounter, they had seen Bigfoot. This episode is dedicated to my baby brother, the most loyal Bigfoot fan I ever knew. Welcome to Freaky Folklore, the podcast where we discover horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters, both ancient and modern. This week, we're discussing Bigfoot, probably the most legendary cryptid in the whole world. This show is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network. Find more terrifying tales at eeriecast.com, such as Destination Terror. You can listen to a new episode every week as I take you to horrifying destinations, both real and mythical. Be sure to follow us on Spotify or your favorite podcasting service. You can leave an honest review on iTunes, too. The more we get, the more we grow, and hopefully the more monsters we can explore. You can now find Freaky Folklore videos on YouTube as well. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. I knew when my parents planned a weekend trip to the cabin in the Ozark Mountains, it would be a weekend of late nights, scraped knees, and scary stories. My grandpa had left the cabin to my dad and his sister, so when we went, it was always a family event. Mom, Dad, me, and my brother, along with my aunt and uncle and cousins. It was always special, though. The first night would be spent reminiscing about their childhood memories, and then after that, there would be fishing trips and swimming in the creek. The cabin, though aged and rustic, was quite large, with two loft bedrooms and plenty of room on the living room floor for us kids to line up our sleeping bags in rows. I love these trips more than anything, because many of the regular rules we followed at home were discarded for the week. For instance, there were no bedtimes. We could stay up and even outside until the grown-ups got tired enough to herd us back into the house. Even after being told to go to bed, we would stay awake, sometimes for hours, giggling and whispering. We would take turns telling scary stories to see who would come up with the best ones. The last summer I remember there was the best, but most horrifying one of all. And what happened back then is the reason we never went back. It was early summer, when the air was warm, but the water was still cold enough to make you shiver. I had just turned 14, and my brother was 10. My cousin Stacy was 12, and her older brother Randy was 16. Stacy and I, even though 2 years apart, were inseparable during the summertime, more like best friends than cousins. When we weren't at each other's houses, we were begging to go. My mom would actually get jealous, because I never wanted to come home when I was at her house. But in fairness, she did have a larger room, and a lot more cool stuff than I did back then. I still shared a room with my little brother. That summer, her dad had bought a really cool four-wheel drive Jeep, and I had begged my mom to let me ride to the cabin with them. Since my brother and I had been fighting more than usual, my mom seemed relieved to see me ride off in the other car. It was a long drive, and we took off after our dads had finished work on Friday. When we got to the cabin, the cicadas were singing in full loud chorus. But they quieted down as the sun set, and sounds of crickets, frogs, and katydids replaced them with their own music. We wasted no time unpacking and settling into our rustic retreat. The cabin was weathered by time but full of charm, and seemed to welcome us with open arms. It was a treasure trove of nostalgia, filled with relics of the past, like pictures of my dad and aunt fishing by the creek when they were kids, and Grandpa's prized trophy bass that still hung over the fireplace. The first night was spent in a haze of laughter and storytelling, as we gathered around the crackling fire that my dad had built. Even though it was really too warm for a fire, it set the perfect atmosphere for our family stories to come alive. My dad always told the same stories over again, but we listened eagerly as he spun his tales with such enthusiasm that it felt like hearing them for the first time. His favorite was the one about the time he and his buddies went fishing at the old creek down by the cabin. According to Dad, they were just minding their own business, casting their lines into the water, when they heard a rustling in the bushes nearby. At first they thought it was just a deer, or maybe a raccoon. But then they saw it, a massive creature, covered in fur and standing on two legs, peering at them from the shadows. Dad would lean in close, his eyes twinkling with mischief, as he described the creature's eerie howl and the way it disappeared into the trees with a speed that defied belief. "Bigfoot," he would whisper with a grin, leaving us wide-eyed and eager for more. No matter how many times Dad told his stories, they never lost their magic. Each retelling brought new details and embellishments, keeping us spellbound until the very end. And as we sat by the fire, surrounded by the comforting embrace of family and the flickering glow of the flames, we knew that these moments would become cherished memories, passed down to our own kids someday, just like Dad's stories of Bigfoot in the woods. On this night, as the final words of the story hung in the air, a sense of unease settled over us kids like a heavy blanket. We laughed nervously, dismissing Dad's tale as nothing more than a spooky story meant to scare us. But as the night wore on, the grown-ups went to bed, and we settled into our sleeping bags. We continued to spook each other. Randy started it, claiming that he could hear strange noises echoing through the woods. And before long, we were convinced that we could hear it too. Even Randy jumped when we heard branches snapping outside the living room window, and leaves rustling in the darkness. And then, in a heartbeat, our laughter turned to screams as we caught sight of a shadowy figure lurking outside the window at the edge of the trees. It was tall and hulking, its form obscured by darkness, yet unmistakably human-like. We were all scrambling towards the stairs as our parents came stumbling down, confused by the commotion. We frantically told them what we saw, but they said it was just our imaginations. They thought we had scared ourselves silly until we were seeing things. We finally, reluctantly, went back to bed. But I was determined to prove that what we had seen was real. "Hey," I whispered to the back of Stacy's head, "are you asleep?" "No," she said as she rolled over to face me. "I don't think I can sleep now. I've got an idea. Let's go out tomorrow and look for evidence. Maybe we'll find a footprint or hair or something. I didn't know that Randy had been listening until he spoke. It'll be like finding a needle in a haystack. I can come with you. I've been hunting with Dad since I was knee-high. I know what to look for. We weren't fond of spending time with our annoying brothers, but the prospect of having the older and larger boy with us for the hunt was comforting. Okay, we'll say that we're going fishing or something. You know they'll make us bring Eugene, I complained. Yeah, I'll keep an eye on him. He likes to act big when he's with me, anyway. He'll be fine, Randy replied. With the plan made and the hour growing late, we finally drifted off to sleep. I was the last one to pass out, as I was still pulsing with adrenaline while staring up at the cabin ceiling, with visions of a big hairy creature filling my imagination. With the next morning came disappointment. It had rained, washing away any chance of finding tracks, but our enthusiasm wasn't totally dampened. No pun intended. We might still find some broken branches or other traces that someone or something had been outside the cabin. With determination fueling our steps, we set out into the woods, our eyes scanning the ground for any signs of disturbance. Randy took the lead, his experienced gaze sweeping over the forest with a practiced eye. As we trudged through the underbrush, our senses heightened with anticipation. We kept a lookout for broken branches, twisted foliage, or any other traces that someone or something had passed through the area. As hours seemed to pass, we were having no luck and had about given up and decided to head back to the cabin for lunch. My stomach had been growling for some time now. I knew that everyone had to be getting hungry, including Eugene, who was my responsibility. When that thought occurred to me, I turned to check on my little brother, but he was nowhere in sight. Eugene! I called out his name calmly at first. Eugene! I yelled even louder. Have you guys seen him? I asked Randy and Stacy. I thought he was right behind us, Randy said, as Stacy shrugged her shoulders. My heartbeat escalated as we all three began to yell for him and backtrack our steps. We had gone about 100 yards when I heard a voice. It was definitely him. He sounded like he was talking to someone. We followed the sound of his voice until we finally found him. Relief washed over me and was quickly replaced by frustration. Eugene, what are you doing? You scared us half to death. He turned to face me, his expression earnest but tinged with excitement. Shh! You're gonna scare it! Confusion clouded my mind as I exchanged bewildered glances with Randy and Stacy. What was Eugene talking about? He squatted down in front of a large pile of sticks and pointed. That is probably an understatement. It was more like a cavern made of limbs, except there was very little space to crawl through. Look, Eugene said softly. It's a baby Bigfoot. I squatted down next to him, but all I could see was a dark shape huddled back in the mass of limbs. It didn't seem to be moving, but every once in a while, I could hear a tiny whimper. What is that? I asked as Randy squatted down next to us. Before he could answer, we heard a howl, or scream. I'm not sure which describes it best. Coming from somewhere in the forest, we all turned in the direction of the sound, just as we heard limbs breaking and quick, heavy footsteps approaching. I don't know what that is, but if that is the mama or the daddy, we better be getting out of here, Randy urged as he jumped to his feet. The look on Randy's face was enough to convince the rest of us that we needed to leave. Follow me, Randy ordered, and don't stop or wander off. That was directed at Eugene, who just nodded. Then he turned and began to run, and each one of us followed. We didn't stop until we cleared the edge of the forest and saw the cabin in the clearing. We thought we only had a really good story to tell, and that now that we were back at the cabin, that would be the end of it. But oh, how wrong we were.
This episode is sponsored by June's Journey. What is horror to you? Monsters? Murder? Mystery? Well, if human monsters are your thing, June's Journey is the game for you, albeit in a more lighthearted tone. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a thrilling murder mystery set in the roaring 20s. You play as June on the hunt for your sister's murderer. Discover clues through exciting hidden object scenes with beautiful and atmospheric illustrations and music. Victory brings you closer to new plot points and suspenseful answers. When not hunting for clues, you can customize your own luxurious estate island with gardens, buildings, and decor. Or chat and play with or against other players too, in the Detective Club, where you could even put your skills to the test in the Detective League. June's Journey is both relaxing and fun to play. With my busy schedule, I find it's the perfect game to pick up and play whenever I've got a free moment. It doesn't demand too much time, and it's pretty satisfying solving puzzles quickly and unlocking new clues. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
If you grew up in the southern states of the U.S., then you grew up hearing about Bigfoot. As a matter of fact, no matter where you're from, this probably isn't your first time hearing of the legendary creature. I'm probably going to reveal just how old I really am through this episode, because I remember watching documentaries on TV about Bigfoot when I was little, way back when we lay in the living room floor and watched those old console televisions. There weren't many options back then. We only had three channels to choose from. After The Legend of Boggy Creek aired for the first time on CBS in November 1981, my life was forever changed. I no longer left the curtains open in my bedroom at night, and that little window in the bathroom became terribly creepy. Me and my friends from the neighborhood would stay out late searching for any signs of Bigfoot in our area. Yes, you probably guessed it, I'm a Gen Xer. And back then, with all the freedom kids were given, we spent a lot of our time telling Bigfoot stories and hunting for the big fella. Now, my little brother, who followed me everywhere back then, was even more of a Bigfoot enthusiast than I was. He never stopped believing, even though I became a little more of a skeptic as I grew older. His belief in the infamous Bigfoot legend, his own personal encounter, and losing him way too early prompted me to finally share with you everything that I can find and fit into one episode about the legendary creature. When it comes to tales that folks share around here, Bigfoot's right up there as one of the big ones. People talk about him being this human-like creature, standing anywhere from 6 to 15 feet tall, covered in hair, and letting out this high-pitched holler that'll send shivers down your spine. Those who have come face to face with him, well, they say it's a sight they won't forget. Stories of a large, hairy, human-like creature that inhabits the forests go back centuries. The Native American contribution to the legend of Sasquatch, or Bigfoot, is profound and deeply rooted in their cultural heritage. Indigenous people across North America have rich oral traditions that include stories and beliefs about large, hairy, humanoid creatures inhabiting the wilderness. These creatures are often referred to by various names, such as Sasquatch, Yeti, Skookum, and more, depending on the specific tribe and region. Among Native American tribes in the Pacific Northwest, such as the Coast Salish, the legend of Sasquatch, or Sasquets, as it's sometimes called, is especially prominent. The term Sasquatch itself is believed to have originated from the Halkomelem language, spoken by the Coast Salish people, and means wild man or hairy man. In indigenous lore, Sasquatch is often depicted as a powerful, elusive, and sometimes supernatural being that inhabits remote wilderness areas. These creatures are believed to possess great wisdom and are sometimes regarded as guardians of the natural world. Stories of Sasquatch are passed down through generations as part of oral tradition, serving as cautionary tales or explanations for unexplained phenomena in the natural world. Native American tribes have historically regarded Sasquatch with reverence and respect, incorporating the creature into their cultural practices, ceremonies, and artwork. Sasquatch is often depicted in traditional indigenous art, such as totem poles and carvings, as well as in contemporary Native literature and media. The Native American perspective on Sasquatch differs from mainstream Western views in that it emphasizes a spiritual connection to the land and the creatures that inhabit it. Rather than viewing Sasquatch as a mere physical entity to be studied or hunted, indigenous peoples often regard Sasquatch as a sacred and mysterious being that deserves to be treated with reverence and awe. One of the earliest documented accounts of Bigfoot-like creatures in North America dates back to the late 19th century. In 1884, a newspaper article in the British Colonist, a Victoria, British Columbia newspaper, recounted the story of a group of prospectors who claimed to have encountered hairy giants in the mountains of British Columbia. These creatures were described as large ape-like beings with long hair and a foul odor, reminiscent of later descriptions of Bigfoot. However, it wasn't until the mid-20th century that Bigfoot gained widespread attention in the United States. In 1958, a series of articles published in the Humboldt Times, a newspaper based in Northern California, brought the legend of Bigfoot to national prominence. The articles detailed the discovery of large footprints, measuring up to 16 inches in length, found in the vicinity of Bluff Creek in Humboldt County, California. Journalist Andrew Genzoli coined the term Bigfoot in reference to the oversized footprints, which he speculated belonged to a large unknown creature. The discovery of these mysterious footprints sparked public fascination and speculation about the existence of an undiscovered species of a large ape-like creature roaming the forest of the Pacific Northwest. Subsequent reports of sightings and encounters with Bigfoot proliferated in the years following the Humboldt Times articles, with individuals from all walks of life claiming to have seen or encountered the elusive creature. In 1967, perhaps the most famous and controversial piece of evidence in support of Bigfoot's existence emerged with the release of the Patterson-Gimlin film. The film purportedly captured footage of a large bipedal creature walking through the woods near Bluff Creek, California. While the authenticity of the film remains a subject of debate among skeptics and believers, it further fueled public interest in Bigfoot and solidified its status as a cultural icon. Since the 1950s, Bigfoot has become a fixture in popular culture, appearing in books, films, television shows, and documentaries. While skeptics dismiss Bigfoot as a product of myth, misidentification, or hoaxes, believers continue to search for evidence of its existence, contributing to the enduring allure and mystery of one of the world's most famous cryptids. Bigfoot frequently appears in movies and television shows across various genres, from horror and science fiction to comedy and animation. Films like Harry and the Hendersons in 1987, Smallfoot in 2018, and Missing Link in 2019 feature friendly humanoid Bigfoot characters, while horror movies like Exists 2014 and Willow Creek 2013 portray Bigfoot as a menacing and elusive creature. Numerous documentaries explore the mystery of Bigfoot and the quest to find evidence of its existence. These documentaries often feature interviews with eyewitnesses, scientists, and researchers, as well as investigations into purported Bigfoot sightings and encounters. Bigfoot-themed books and literature are popular among enthusiasts and casual readers alike. These include nonfiction books detailing alleged sightings and evidence, as well as fictional works that incorporate Bigfoot into stories of adventure, mystery, and fantasy. Bigfoot-themed podcasts have gained a dedicated following, with hosts discussing sightings, encounters, theories, and the latest news related to Bigfoot. Additionally, online forums, websites, and social media groups provide platforms for enthusiasts to share stories, exchange information, and debate the existence of Bigfoot. Bigfoot-themed merchandise, such as t-shirts, mugs, toys, and novelty items, are popular among fans and collectors. These items often feature images of Bigfoot, humorous slogans, and references to famous sightings and encounters. Bigfoot is a central figure in broader cryptid culture, which encompasses a wide range of legendary creatures and mythical beings. Cryptid-themed conventions and events bring together enthusiasts, researchers, and experts to discuss and celebrate cryptids like Bigfoot. In the end, whether Bigfoot exists or not remains a mystery kept by the forest itself. Yet for those who believe, the allure of the unknown and the thrill of the hunt continue to fuel a passionate quest for answers amidst the vast expanse of legend and lore. I don't know about you, but in honor of my brother, today, I choose to believe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Once we were back at the cabin, we told our parents what had happened. But as expected, they tried to explain it away, attributing the noises we heard to wild animals and our overactive imaginations. We were disappointed, but not surprised. We eventually gave up and went about enjoying the rest of our day, the best we could. Randy and Eugene went fishing with the men, and Stacy and I donned our swimsuits and played in the creek that ran behind the cabin, while our mothers picked blackberries along the edge of the woods. It was a peaceful setting with laughter and the promise of a cookout and blackberry cobbler later, until evening began to descend. The events from earlier that day began to weigh heavily on my mind. The close encounter with the mysterious creature lingered. Despite my best efforts to shake off the fear that began to grip me, the darkness began to amplify my unease. As the night deepened and darkness enveloped the cabin, our sanctuary seemed to grow smaller. "Do you think it will come back tonight?" I asked Randy as we sat by the fire that evening after dinner. "I don't know, but if it does, we'll be prepared," he answered with a nod towards my dad and uncle's rifles propped against the fireplace. The guns brought me some comfort, but I wasn't completely convinced of our safety. My imagination was running wild as I began to watch the windows for any sign of movement. Every tree branch that waved in the moonlight sent my heart racing. It was nearing bedtime. Everyone was getting tired. Randy was sitting around the fire with the grown-ups listening to their banter. Eugene was playing on the area rug in the floor with his He-Man action figures. Stacy and I were sitting together on the couch, trying to distract ourselves with the board game, but our minds kept drifting back to the events of the day. I glanced nervously at the windows, half expecting to see the shadowy figure of the mysterious creature lurking just beyond the glass. But the night was dark and still, the only movement coming from the flickering flames of the fire. "Do you think it'll come back?" I whispered the same question to Stacy, my voice barely audible over the crackling of the fire. Stacy's eyes widened with fear as she shook her head, her voice barely a whisper. "I don't know, but I hope not." But even as we spoke, a chill ran down my spine. A sense of unease engulfed me that I couldn't shake. I watched my mother as she rose from the kitchen table to go to the bathroom, wondering how the adults would react if they had heard what we had heard in the woods earlier. Moments later, a scream broke through the peaceful atmosphere of the cabin. The bathroom door flung open quickly as my mother ran out. "There was someone looking in the bathroom window," she said, her voice trembling. "I think it was a man, but it was hard to tell because the face had so much shaggy hair." The adults had stood in unison, and my dad, who had wrapped his arms around my trembling mother, gently pushed her away. You girls keep an eye on the kids. We'll go check it out. If there's a peeping Tom out here in the woods, we'll make sure he doesn't come back. His voice was gentle, yet determined. Can I go? Randy begged, the excitement evident in his eyes. No, son, my uncle answered. You stay here and keep everyone safe. If anything happens, you know where I keep my pistol. Randy nodded, obviously disappointed, but resigned to his duty. As my dad and uncle grabbed their rifles and headed outside, leaving us alone in the cabin, the tension in the air grew thicker with each passing moment. We huddled together, our eyes darting nervously towards the windows, as we strained to listen to any sign of danger. We didn't have to wait long until we heard the sound of a rifle being fired, and then another. It was only two shots, but it felt like we held our breath forever before the men returned to the cabin. My dad had a trickle of blood running from his hairline, down his forehead. Oh my God, what happened? My mother ran to him. It's nothing. Whoever was out there started throwing rocks at us. One pegged me good right in the head. But we fired a couple of shots into the air, so if they're smart, they won't be back. My mother went and grabbed the first aid kit from the bathroom and made my dad sit in a kitchen chair. But about the same time he sat down, a god-awful scream came from somewhere outside. It was a loud, blood-curdling cry that echoed through the night like a primal howl of terror. And then everything went silent. You could have heard a pin drop. No sound of breathing. No crickets outside. Nothing. We waited and listened. And then, just when it seemed that we could bear the silence no longer, a sound shattered the stillness. A sound so primal and bone-chilling that it sent a wave of terror coursing through my veins. It was another howl, a mournful cry that seemed to come from the very depths of the forest itself. The sound echoed through the night with a haunting intensity, filling the air with a sense of dread that seemed to seep into my very soul. I exchanged frightened glances with Randy and Stacy, their faces pale with fear as they clung to each other in terror. Eugene, calm in the face of danger, seemed strangely unfazed by the sound, his eyes fixed on some unseen point outside the window in the darkness, as if he could see something the rest of us couldn't. My father and uncle grabbed their rifles again and headed for the door, but as they did, a loud banging sound set the door shaking on its hinges. With a collective gasp, we turned towards the door, our hearts pounding in our chests as the sound of heavy footsteps echoed around the cabin. My father and uncle froze in their tracks, their rifles held at the ready as they braced themselves for whatever horror awaited them on the other side. The banging grew louder, each thud sending shockwaves through the cabin as the door threatened to give way under the force of the unseen assailant. Panic gripped me as I clung to Randy and Stacy, my mind racing with thoughts of what could be lurking just beyond the threshold. And then, just when it seemed that the door would splinter apart under the relentless assault, the banging stopped as suddenly as it had begun. For a moment, there was silence, broken only by the sound of our ragged breaths as we waited in terrified anticipation. And then, without warning, the door burst open with a deafening crash, sending splinters of wood flying through the air as a dark figure loomed in the doorway. My father and uncle raised their rifles, their faces set in grim determination as they prepared to defend us against whatever horror had come to claim us. But as the figure stepped into the dim light of the cabin, a wave of terror washed over me, chilling me to the bone. It wasn't a man, nor was it any creature that I had ever seen before. Its form was similar to a man, but massive and covered with hair. With a guttural growl, the creature lunged forward, its large hands outstretched as it reached for us, with a rage that chilled me to the core. My father and uncle opened fire, their bullets tearing through the air with a deafening roar as they fought to protect us from the nightmare that had come for us. As the sting of bullets sent the creature reeling back, a momentary sense of relief washed over us. The creature let out a blood-curdling howl, its unearthly cries echoing through the forest as it stumbled into the darkness. Finally, there was a glimmer of hope that we had driven the creature away. But that hope was short-lived. As the night wore on, the howls of the creature grew louder and more desperate, a haunting reminder of the danger that lurked just beyond the cabin walls. Despite our best efforts to barricade ourselves in, the creature's presence lingered like a shadow over us, its menacing howls filling us with a sense of dread that seemed to suffocate the air around us. We huddled together in fear, our hearts pounding in our chests, as we waited for the sun to rise and banish the darkness once and for all. As the first light of dawn illuminated the forest, the howls of the creature ceased, replaced by an eerie silence that hung over the cabin like a shroud. With a sense of foreboding, we gathered our belongings and prepared to flee the cabin, the memory of the creature's howls still echoing in our minds. As we made our way down the drive in the safety of our car, I caught sight of Eugene staring out the window, his eyes fixed on something unseen in the forest. A sense of unease washed over me as I watched him wave goodbye to whatever unseen horror lurked beyond the trees. Thank you for listening to Freaky Folklore, the podcast about mankind's horrifying legends and myths. Don't forget to follow Freaky Folklore on Spotify and iTunes. If you can, leave the show an honest review on iTunes to help us grow. Freaky Folklore is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network, the home for listeners who love to feel scared. Go to EerieCast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Destination Terror, hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to CarmenCarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. Until next time, stay safe out there, because this world is a strange one.